So today I'm going to start a new series, that focuses on prayer. It was last summer. Last summer we spent 12 weeks during the summer going over faith practices, as we've defined them or called them. Maybe you've heard of them as spiritual disciplines, those things that we do as disciples of Christ that draw us closer to God. And what we did last summer is we went through 12 different faith practices, and we did that by bouncing over one each week. If you remember that, we used a booklet that looked like this to sort of guide us along the way. And along the way then, we found that there were certain faith practices that maybe spoke deeply to some more than others, right? So as when you look at 12 of them, you sort of get this idea of some of these faith practices really connect, and others maybe connect for others more so in other ways. So we got through a summer of 12 weeks, and we all came out of that with something of a personal discipleship plan, right? A custom menu of here are faith practices that really draw me closer to God, and it may look different for each one of us. However, we went through that last summer and we found a handful of those faith practices that are universal, essential for every believer, no matter what. We identified what some of those are, right? So one of those faith practices was Scripture, being in God's Word. That was one that, you know what, this is a non-negotiable. If you are a disciple of Christ, a follower of Christ, being in God's Word is essential. We also identified gratitude as one of those, that we are people who live grateful to God. And practicing that discipline of gratitude is what keeps us grounded in grace, that this walk of faith does not become a walk of legalism or obligation or things that we have to do to earn something, but it comes from gratitude that we do that. So we found a few of those that, you know what, these are essential. Everybody who claims to be a follower of Christ should do these things. And then prayer. That we identified prayer as essential, a non-negotiable, that we as God's people connect with God, have communion with God in prayer. So one of those faith practices that we all take up and we all engage in. So last summer we went, you know, a week at a time through these, and that's sort of a really fast glance at it. So what I want to do now for the next 4 weeks is just take that one faith practice of prayer and let's open that one up. Let's take a good look at that one as one of those essentials. We should all be people who are connected to God in prayer. Now, I don't know what your upbringing in this has sort of brought around for you in the area of prayer, right? I mean, who was taught to pray as a child? Maybe some of us were, and maybe some of those prayers that you first learned were, you know, bedtime prayers, now I lay me down to sleep, those kinds of things, or prayers at a mealtime that you were taught perhaps at a young age, some of the basics of beginning how to pray. Or maybe you came from a home where you saw it modeled in other ways, that there was prayer around the table at mealtime and someone else would offer that prayer, or you would be a part of groups that would pray, or being someone who was in church engaging in prayer, or going to prayer meetings and being in a prayer group. Maybe you've had the experience of learning prayer in different ways, or maybe you're someone who sort of came to it a little later in life, that prayer is something of, here's an ingredient of a connection with the creator of the universe that I've been missing my whole life. And now I'm beginning to understand and catch on to that and do that. Prayer maybe comes to all of us in different ways like that. Or maybe prayer is one of those things that if you've been walking the road of faith for a long time, can start to feel a little bit stale. Routine. I'm going through motions, maybe just praying the same things that don't really feel like they grow or stretch or push me further. That we have seasons of life like that where prayer becomes something that feels a little bit stagnant. Prayer comes to us in different ways, at different times, in different seasons of life. But I want us to focus then and return our attention on what prayer is, right? So what is it that we're doing when we pray? And how does prayer work? Right? What are the different kinds of prayers that we give, and how does that work in our life of faith? How does that benefit and grow us as God's people to do that? So let's spend a little time thinking about what prayer is and how prayer works. I like this quote that comes from Julian of Norwich, and this is back in England in the 14th century, a long time ago. Julian wrote this: "The whole reason why we pray is to be united into the vision and contemplation of Him to whom we pray." That we do this thing called prayer because it unites us with God, gives us communion with God. You know what? I know when we come to church, sometimes we've got the table with the communion table, right? That we do that sacrament that celebrates communion. And it is a sacrament that signifies and celebrates that we are united with Christ, a communion with God that way. Prayer does that same thing. Prayer gives us a union with God, that we are united with Christ through that. So when we think about what prayer is, and I don't know, maybe sometimes prayer just seems like it's bringing my list of needs before God, or it's thanking God for what He's given me. And we think of prayer as maybe those things where it's a list. But prayer at its heart is something that brings us in union with God as we do those things. So what does that look like? Right? How do we engage prayer like that? Because who wouldn't want that? Who wouldn't want a life of faith where you come to God in faith and you say, I believe that there is this creator of the universe who made all things, and I believe that this God who created everything loves us so much that He gave His Son for our sin, our brokenness, so that we could be united with Him. And prayer connects us to that union we have with God. I want prayer like that, a prayer that really brings that unity that God has brought about. So here's how we're going to go about that. All right, so I'm going to give you the roadmap of the next 4 weeks of what we're doing here. So this isn't all today. This is the next 4 weeks. We're going to talk about prayer in four different categories: practice, pattern, posture, and presence. The practice is what it means for prayer to be something we do that talks to God. The pattern, we'll get to that next week, is what it looks like to talk with God. Then posture, a prayer that is listening for God to speak to us. And presence, a centering kind of prayer that simply places us in a posture of being with God, in God's presence. All right, so that's the map for the next 4 weeks as we go through it. So I'm giving you that now so that you don't think when you walk out of here today, wait, that's it? That's all prayer is? We're just going to take this a piece at a time, all right? So we're focusing on one thing today, the thing that I'm going to call practice, the practice of prayer, what it means to be people who talk to God, that we address God, that we speak to Him in prayer. And, you know, by the way, this is not original material, right? I have resources for this kind of thing. And just so you know, I can give credit where credit is due. One of the books I've been reading recently is this one, Practicing the Way by John Mark Comer. And it sort of lays out this roadmap that I'm going to be following here. And I say that too because this is I'm not the only one who uses this resource. So it just so happens that my friend Brandon Hahn, who is the minister at Ivanrest Church a half mile down the road, did a series on prayer just last month and used this book too. So if you know people who go to Ivanrest Church down the road, they heard something actually pretty similar to what I'm going to give you in the next 4 weeks because we're all running from the same resource on that. That's okay. That's a good thing that we're working in the same directions as people of God across different congregations. So what is prayer as a practice then, as we think about this? What it means to have a practice of prayer, the kind of prayer that I want to begin with today as our area of focus, is a prayer that comes already written, scripted form prayers that are prepared and written. Maybe sometimes when we think about prayer, we think about it as something where, right, I fold my hands and I close my eyes and I just start, whatever comes to mind, whatever's on my heart, I'm bringing that before God. And we'll get to that. Actually, that's next week that we get to that. I want us to start today, though, by considering prayers that are provided for us, that are already given to us. And I want us to consider that as a place to begin, because that's helpful. Helpful in so many ways as we think about what prayer is and how prayer works and how we can tap into really having that union with God that comes about through this practice of prayer. So using form prayers or scripted prayers, prayers that are already written, it does some things for us when we do that. It does things like this. It teaches us how to pray. So if you're wondering how to pray or how prayer can work for us, using prayers of others is a great place to start, because it's something that helps us to learn what prayer is and how prayer works, teaching us how to pray. We see examples even in the Gospels where Jesus' disciples come to him and ask, Lord, teach us to pray. That we can learn something about prayer from the prayers of others. That's one thing. Another thing that using written prayers helps us to do is that it enriches our prayers with new directions. Maybe especially if you find a place where it feels like my prayer life has just gotten into a rut. I feel like I'm just praying the same things over and over again. And it feels like there's not anything really stretching or pushing the boundaries of my life of prayer. Using prayers that are already written by others can introduce us to new directions of prayer, right? New paths of prayer. So if you're the kind of person for whom prayer feels like it's, I'm always just giving my list of needs to God. It's intercessory prayer, right? All I seem to do is intercessory prayer. I'm intercessing for the needs of others. But then when you find written prayers that are prayers of adoration and praise, or prayers of thanksgiving, or prayers that are centering prayers that place us in the presence of the Almighty God, those things push our prayer life in new directions. Using these kind of form and scripted prayers can introduce those things so that our prayer life, our life of prayer, can be expanded in new directions. Using written prayers help us do that. And then finally, using prayers that are written by others connects our prayers with others. We had a prayer that we did here today that was based on the Lord's Prayer. And I am quite confident that there are many others around the world today who in some way also pray those words of the Lord's Prayer. That there is a connection with others through prayer when we all pray the same thing together. I mean, part of that happens right here in church, right? When I lead a prayer and you're all here praying along with me, that we are united in prayer when we do that. Using prayers that are written can connect us in that way too, that we all pray the same thing before God. Not only does that connect our prayers to God, but it also connects us with one another. Right? It's a way that we have communion with each other when we all pray the same thing. Using prayers like this as a prayer practice, helps to bring about those things. It's a great place to start, a place to start and launch this discussion on prayer, because it really opens up the subject to us of let's dig in to figure out what prayer is, how prayer works, and we can do that by examining who else has prayed before us and what they've prayed, how that works, and how we can join in along with that, using prayers of others that way. It's not cheating, right? I mean, it's using what God has blessed us with and resources that are before us. Talking to God in that way then, as something that helps us in our prayer life. And it's different than talking with, right? So after the service today, I mean, there's a time of refreshment and coffee, and we go and we and that's where I get to talk with you, right? So grab a cup of coffee and there's conversation. That's where I talk with you. And talking with you means in conversation, there's back and forth, and you know what, I don't walk up to you and pull out a script and start reading, right? It's conversation that's sort of based on what I'm going to say to you depends on what you say to me, and a question that I ask you maybe brings about a certain answer back to me, or a question you ask me brings an answer back to you. It's sort of impromptu in the moment, and that's how conversation, how talking with works like that. We'll talk more about that next week. But today, talking to. You know what? Right now, right here, I'm talking to you. I mean, I suppose you could respond, but I'm not really leaving an open space for that, am I? Right? I mean, this is something where I am speaking, you're listening. I'm addressing you in that way. And it's something that I've prepared ahead of time. I don't walk in here on a Sunday morning and scratch my head and say, what shall I say today? Right? I don't make it up as I go when I'm up here, but there has been preparation that has gone into what I am presenting and talking to you about today. And I think maybe some of you know how this goes too. If you have the kind of job where maybe from time to time you've had to present a report in some fashion, right? You put something together and maybe it's all printed in a binder, or you make a PowerPoint slideshow or whatever, and you present something that you spent time preparing, that those words were thoughtfully put together ahead of time when you present it. Or students in school, I'm sure you know how this goes because you've probably had a class where you've had to present a report of some kind, put together your research, and maybe you make some kind of a little slide deck for it or have some kind of a handout or whatever, but you know what that's like. I think we all do. We know what it's like to have a moment where we've had to prepare something ahead of time that we are going to present in that way. Prayer can be like that. There is a place for prayer to be like that. Something that we have prepared ahead of time and present, talk to God with that, in that thoughtful kind of presentation ahead of time. So where do we get that? I mean, where do we find a source for this? Right? Because when I put together a Sunday sermon, I don't just come up with everything. I do research. I read commentaries. I read other books. These aren't my own ideas. In fact, I've already given a nod to that I'm actually doing some ideas that were just done down the road last month at another church because we're using the same books, we're reading the same things. And that's okay, that we pull that one in together with resources that we use. I think the place that I would point us to then as the greatest place to go to start with, how do I use scripted form prayers, would be from the Bible. In fact, in the middle of the Bible, in the book of Psalms, it's pretty much a book of prayers. That these are prayers given for us, words that are already put together, that we can pray to God, that do all of the things that I've mentioned and talked about. All the things of teaching us how to pray. All the things of stretching and expanding our life of prayer in new directions. All the things of connecting us with one another as we pray the same things. All of that we can find in the Psalms. And in fact, in the next 4 weeks, in these four messages, I'm taking a passage for each one of these messages from the Psalms. So we'll use Psalms as a base, a home base for our thoughts and discussion on prayer and what that looks like. All right, so today I want to begin us in that with reading a part of a psalm that has something to do with how we hear from God. And I'm taking this from Psalm 119, and that's a very long psalm. So I'm going to actually begin at verse 97 and read through 104. Before I do that, let's pray. God, this is your word, given for us and given for our lives. As we open this and read this and consider this today, would you speak to us through your Holy Spirit that as we pray these words to you, that you would reveal yourself to us? I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, Psalm 119, I'm going to be reading from verse 97 through verse 104. It says this, "Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands are always with me, and make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path, so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Psalm 119. All right, so I'm taking a passage from here as a place to begin. A little context around what's happening here in this psalm. That Psalm 119, as maybe you know, is a very long psalm. And it's broken into chunks, 8 verses at a time. And it's a piece of poetry in the Hebrew language that is an acrostic poem, meaning that it uses the Hebrew alphabet as sort of a way of organizing as it goes. And if you were to open a Bible and look at it, you would see that. You see that every 8 verses, there's a new heading. And it has a funny name, and it has a funny symbol. And those are all the letters of the Hebrew alphabet, one at a time, every 8 verses, along with the name of that letter. So, for example, verse 1 starts with verses 1 through 8, follow the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, the letter Aleph, and it kind of looks like an X, the way it's written. And the way it works in Hebrew poetry then is the first word of all first 8 verses begins with that letter. So it's sort of, I wouldn't say it rhymes, but it has a poetic alliteration that every line begins with a word that begins with Aleph in those first 8 verses. I picked this up at verse 97 through 104, which is the Hebrew letter Mem. And the first word of every one of those verses, 97 through 104, is a word that begins with, in Hebrew, the letter Mem, and follows that way. It made it easier in that time, when people were not literate and didn't have printing presses and that kind of thing, made it easier to memorize Scripture when it would sort of come with that kind of poetic alliteration. But what it means for Psalm 119 is it's broken into chunks, that it has sections like that. So we can take a chunk like this, these 8 verses out, and look at that sort of by itself, because all the sections of Psalm 119 revolve around the same theme. They all in some way have perspective or angle or point of view towards the Word of God, God's Word given to them. So you see that in this section that we read, which is just a snippet out of the larger whole of this psalm. And we see the way that it brings our attention before God by talking about his word. So there are references there. Just in those 8 verses that we read, look at all the different ways that the psalmist refers to the words of God that come to him. It's referred to just in those 8 verses using things like word, law, precepts, statutes, commands, all different ways of saying this is how God has spoken and revealed himself to us. And they think of that as the law, right? That was in 97, that's how we began. I love your law, O God. And maybe thinking of law a little bit more broadly, we tend to think of law as a list of rules that you have to follow. That's what it means for us in English. For the Old Testament Hebrew people, law was much more than that. Not just a list of rules to follow, but law encompassed the entire Torah, the first 5 books of the Bible, where God revealed himself in his covenant love to his people. They saw it as God's love letter to them. The way that God reveals himself in covenant love to his people, that was how they saw Torah, the law. It's a love letter. So the psalmist can write about this in these words of prayer. I love your law. I love your covenant love letter to me. Begins with that expression in these verses. And all the things that are gained from that, if you catch that, there's reference to what is gained from these words of God as he talks about that in prayer. And just in these 8 verses, talking about things like wisdom, I'm wiser than the others, understanding, that I have teaching, I'm taught by your word, that I gain insight from your word, that in the way God speaks and reveals himself to the psalmist prays back to God, and here's what I get from that. Here's how that impacts me. Here's my reception of that in my life and in some way. And then the action, the result. What happens because of it? There's some words of that in this psalm too, right? The response that comes from the one who prays these words. He begins it right in verse 97. Lord, I love your law. That there's a love that develops, not just for the law itself, not just for the words of God, but for the one who gives those words, right? For the one who speaks them. A love for God that comes. Another action that's mentioned twice in these 8 verses is meditation. I meditate upon these things, right? It's not just Bible study. It's the Word of God, and sometimes we treat the Word of God more often than not just as that. It's something to be studied, that we learn, that we gain knowledge. But the psalmist here is taking the words of God in another kind of direction, something to meditate upon. I pray these words. I bring these words in prayer before God in meditation. And then, a couple times there's mention of obedience. And through this process, through this way of God speaking to me and me praying to God, there is a result of obedience. I learn what it means to live the life that God desires for me to live. And I obey in those things. These are all wrapped up in a prayer in Psalm 119. And it's not a class or a lecture that he goes to, right? It's not looking at the Word of God as though it's an instruction manual or a textbook, but as a prayer. It's in praying this that the psalmist comes to this point. Notice how the words in this psalm are personal, right? It's first person singular pronouns. I, me, my. The psalmist is pouring out his own heart before God in that. And it's directly addressed to God with second person pronouns. You, yours. That it's a presentation that the psalmist is giving, talking to God about all the ways that God is connected to him, all the ways that his life is enriched and brought to a place of greater abundance and greater meaning and greater purpose because of what God has done, because of what God has given. All of that in words of prayer, praying that to God in ways that help to understand that. It's there for us in the Bible, right there in the middle, that entire book of Psalms. All of these prayers that are already written as a way to go in prayer before God, to give us new teaching, new insight, new ways of knowing and understanding connection with God through prayer. Not just there, though, we see it in the New Testament as well, that Jesus himself gave some words about prayer to his disciples, right? So this is from Luke chapter 11, a few words that come from a conversation between Jesus and his disciples. He says this, "One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples.' He said to them, 'When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Words of Jesus that give some instruction then that we prayed in our congregational prayer here today, that Jesus teaches his people how to pray and how to do that in ways that bring before needs that focus upon God for who he is, that focus upon being united with God's will and his purpose, and focuses on the request we have of receiving from God what we need from day to day to be his people, and focuses on a confession that we are sinners who need forgiveness and need to forgive others. All of that just summarized in these few words of Jesus, given as a way to pray. On another occasion then, and this comes a little further in Luke chapter 18, where it's a story about what prayer looks like. He says this, picking that up in verse 10, where Jesus tells this story. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. These are ways that show something of what Jesus teaches his disciples about prayer and how prayer works. That it comes before God then in this place of humility. That prayer is not one of those things that we bring before God to exalt ourselves. Look at how holy I am because I can pray. But it's just the opposite of, I come before God because I know that without that connection to God, without God uniting me to himself, that I have no good thing and I depend on his mercy. That's a prayer that centers us on the gospel, right? A prayer that acknowledges that we come before God only because of what Christ has done for us. That our prayers that come before God any other way do not come before God in a way where God hears and justifies according to that story. But it's recognizing that when we pray through Christ, the one who's taken the guilt of our sin away by taking it to the cross, when we pray through Christ, the one who's given us his perfect righteousness, that we come before God then in a way where Christ himself invites us to be before God. That we come covered in that righteousness, invited before God, and that's what unites us with God through the prayers that we bring then as we're invited to do that before God. I want us to consider then what it looks like for us to have prayers that use maybe some of these other words in ways that help us in our own prayer life. One of those ways that I've talked about here today is the Psalms. That's a great place to start, right? So if you're thinking, where can I find some form scripted prayers that can maybe give me some new direction, start with Psalms. That's a great place to start to do those kinds of things. Other things that may be available are maybe resources that are a little more recent that you can find too. And I'm just going to put a few of those things up here just as suggestions, but not to say, all right, do all these things now. Go get all these things. This is just sort of to get you thinking about the different kinds of ways we can use some prayers of others and what that may look like. One resource, one that I keep in my office, is I keep a copy of the Book of Common Prayer. This comes from the Episcopal Church. And it's a very old resource. The first published edition came in 1662. I think the most recent one, revision of that, is 2019. There may be a more recent one that I'm not aware of. But it has been around for a long time. And the Episcopalians have used this as a part of their worship for a long time. These are prayers that are given as prayers for each day. That there's a set of morning prayers and a set of evening prayers for each day, and prayers that many people around the world pray. that just give a focus for the day. That's one example of a resource where it's written for you, and I've got a prayer in the morning that's all ready to go. I've got a prayer in the evening that's all ready to go. That sort of brings a new direction around that. Then there's a resource that Pastor Barb and I actually use and recommend quite a bit. And I think it's one of the books that we give for our students at points too. So I know many of you also have this resource, the book Seeking God's Face, where again, it's divided by calendar. For every day of the year, there are scriptures and prayers that can be prayed through. This is praying the scriptures. There's a psalm for each day, and there's another reading for each day, and then there's some prayer prompts for each day. That's something as a resource for every day to use, coming before God using those prayers. Then there's another one that I'll just put out there as a recommendation. This comes from the author, Kate Bowler, and the book is called The Lives We Actually Have. Now, this one doesn't follow a calendar. This is one that goes more topically by the table of contents. So in that book, the way I use it is there's 100 prayers and they're all divided by certain topics. And whatever it is that I am feeling a need to pray for during whatever I'm going through that particular day, I'll look through the table of contents and say, all right, where's a prayer that fits with this? And then flip to that one. Prayers for everyday ordinary life, right? Prayers for a day that feels unproductive. Prayers for a day where it feels like I've accomplished a lot. Prayers for a day when I feel tired. Prayers for a day when I feel full and enriched. Prayers for days when I'm hurting. Prayers for days when I get to help others. All of that may be divided more by subject or topic, that even in those things where we're feeling or going through certain things a day at a time, that there can be prayers already written that help give expression of those things that we're thinking and feeling and going through from day to day. Give expression of that in prayer towards God. And some of those resources are already set to go for us. Then you can find them and use these things. So that's my challenge for this week as we begin prayer. Right? This is a four-week journey that we're on. So there's a whole lot more that I have to say about prayer for us to consider. But what I want us to consider today is just a place to begin as a prayer practice. And using that place to begin as an opportunity to say, how can I use the wisdom of someone else in stretching my prayer life in a new direction? If my prayer life feels stuck, if my prayers feel like it's the same thing over and over again, if I feel like I don't even know what to pray or how to pray, whatever that is for us, whatever that feels like, find a new opportunity this week, right? That's our challenge today of one new prayer resource that I will use this week. And as I've suggested as we've gone here today, the Psalms are a great choice. If you need a place to go to start, let's start with a psalm. And work through that as a way of saying, in this week, I'm just going to give myself the opportunity to pray using words of someone else that help me to become better at prayer and help me connect more with God through that. So may God bless us as we do that, and may our communion with God be enriched as we pray as His people to Him. Let's pray together. God, thank you for your word, and I thank you that in your word that you've given us prayers. You've given us language and words that can express ourselves to you. Lord, and I pray that as we have opportunity to do that as your people, that you would reveal yourself to us, that through these things that we would not just be about going through motions or what it is we feel we need to do or have to do, but God, may you reveal yourself through the prayers that we give in ways that remind us again that this is one of the ways that we experience communion with you is through these times of prayer. So God, teach us, mold us, shape us. God, bring us to places of stretching our lives of prayer in new directions. in ways that enliven our faith and draw us closer to you. Lord, we pray these things to you, not because the effort we give is tremendous, but because what you have done for us to bring us in communion with you is more than we could ever ask, imagine, or accomplish on our own. So, Lord, hear this prayer. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.